Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank the organizers for inviting us here. Thank you for the hospitality as well. I'll try to be very quick, so I'll skip some of the slides so that we avoid repetition of the information that was either provided by our ambassador and by Nicodemus in the previous session. The portfolio of our ministry is quite wide. We have energy, we have commerce, and we have industry. For this conversation here, this dialogue, hopefully, I'm against the monologues and I prefer more interactive sessions. So if possible, we, depends on the organizers, of course, if they can allow us to get some questions later upon having first the conversation between the panelists. As far as energy is concerned, I will try to skip those that information that is a repetition. So I will go straight into energy. And in energy, we have quite a few challenges in Cyprus, despite being a very small market. It's a regional market as well. So you can understand that Cyprus is very well located, close to Africa, next to Middle East, and it's a European member state. So Cyprus can be used as a gateway into Europe for those investors that are interested in energy, and not only. Cyprus cannot be ignored, and the message that we get from those that are providing the rating upgrades, S&P, A- with a stable outlook. DBRS, A low with positive outlook. And Moody's, A3 stable. So you understand, when you get these upgrades recently, you cannot ignore such a country. And although we'll try to promote Cyprus, we are going to give you the realism of Cyprus as well. So what we are trying hard in energy in Cyprus, we are trying to reduce the cost of energy and to, provide solutions and avoid the energy poverty. We have the exclusive economic zone, and we have some companies, oil and gas companies, that they will give us some more insights possibly. That we are dealing and we are trying to develop the wealth that is in the exclusive economic zone of Cyprus, and we are talking about natural gas here. Certainly energy security. You may be aware of the Great Sea Interconnector that is being in discussions for many years now, that will terminate the isolation of the island and will provide some energy security to the island. And, of course, some of our commitments, which you may be aware that we have the National Plan for Energy and Climate, that we have certain commitments towards the EU, that we have to use renewables in electricity coming from renewable energy sources that reaches 33% by 2030. So what you can see here is the first part, which is the natural gas, that it's in the exclusive economic zone. You see the exclusive economic zone of Cyprus, which is the triangle that we see over here. And the discoveries is what you see here, what you see on the left-hand side. Certain of the discoveries, the quantities are mentioned there. The TCF, for those who they don't understand the unit, is trillion cubic feet. It's not the huge discoveries, but they are medium-sized and small discoveries. We have, I will start from the first one, which is Block 12. You can see some of the firms that they are operating in Block 12. It's the Aphrodite discovery here. We have in Block 6, we have some well-known names of companies operating in Block 6. We have Kronos, Calypso and Zeus. And of course we have Block 10, which is Glaucus, with another well-known name in the U.S. And of course we have Electra, which is a target in Block 5. And we may hear some more from John later on, if he can give us any information, of course, because it's something which is ongoing. Now, in terms of the neighborhood, you can see that what is missing from the exclusive economic zone of Cyprus is infrastructure. And without having infrastructure in an exclusive economic zone, it's very difficult to develop the discoveries. And in the neighborhood, you see two well-known countries. It's Israel, and you can see Egypt. These red lines are pipelines, which they are subsea pipelines in their majority. You can see some short pipelines as well, which they connect Israel with Egypt. So, and you can see all these discoveries in Egypt, in the Egyptian exclusive economic zone. The majority of those, they are being used, and they are empty. There are some still operating. And in Israel, we have some giant discoveries like the Leviathan and the Tamar, and some smaller ones like the Karish. But you see, still there is infrastructure. What these two countries they did is they gave priority to their own gas to power solution, which is they are using their own gas in order to convert it into electricity. And this is what makes Israel at this point in time, and previously Egypt, being independent of any volatility in the energy markets. And this is exactly the right thing for a country to do. As far as the exclusive economic zone of Cyprus, you can see that there is no infrastructure. So when it comes to the first developments, we need to develop, and you can see another big U.S.-based company, multinational. We are in an agreement that this should be developed and get the product to a place in Egypt so that it can be commercialized in Egypt. The same for Block 6, and possibly Martina from E&I will give us some more information later on. The advantage that Martina has when it comes to commercialization is that Zohr, which is in the exclusive economic zone of Egypt, is at a close proximity to Block 6, to Kronos, in fact, which is the first one to come into commercialization. And by just connecting the facility, the Zohr infrastructure, you can straight away get the product to the shore in Egypt, and then from Egypt there is a liquefaction plant in Damietta. You can liquefy the product and just get the product in an LNG form to the markets. In terms of what we are trying to do in Cyprus, this is a one slide that I prepared in order to provide some insights of what we are trying to do in Cyprus. And indeed, this is the offshore, and this is the onshore. What you can see here is the electricity consumer, and this is our focus. The electricity consumer is our focus, and this is where we try hard to get the electricity cost lower. Because you know that an economy which has one, let's say, area of energy, source of energy, and this is electricity, it very much depends on this source of energy. And the lowest the cost is for electricity for these consumers here, and I'm not talking about households only, we are talking about industry, we are talking about manufacturing, and the lower the cost of electricity is, the more competitive is our industry. And this is what we are trying hard in order to get low cost, or if I call it in a more talking language, cheap energy to our consumers. What you can see here is certain boxes. I mean, the gray color is conventional power generation. This is solar and wind, which is renewable energy sources. And when it comes to offshore, is what you saw earlier, which is what is happening here. I mean, this is the offshore. And in fact, we have the offshore activities, but we also have one in inlet, if I call it this way, which is an LNG supply route, an FSRU here, which is a floating supply regasification unit, regasifies the product and pushes the product into the conventional power generation. Why this and not this? Because this is, we are talking about a market which is a niche market. It consumes only 0.7 BCM, billion cubic meters, which is a very small market. So you understand, in order to justify all these investments here, and I will explain what are the investments here, you need to have some other outlets like floating liquefaction or shore liquefaction in order to get it, the product liquefied and get it to the markets. Because this only, I mean, for the local market, cannot justify pushing the product from here into the local market. Much of our focus had been, I mean, in order to get this solution on shore or floating in Cyprus, you need certain quantities. Possibly these quantities we will hear more about from the experts of the two companies here, and not only. Now, in terms of this side, this is something which is ongoing at the moment. We are preparing a terminal in order to get the LNG import into regasification and get it into conventional power generation. The most important, though, here is this green box there, where we have quite some production of electricity. Just to give you a little bit of background, this is becoming, I mean, in the last 4 years, we managed to reach the 1 gigawatt. All this here, they are close to 1.4 gigawatts. So you understand that when it comes to renewable energy sources, we are on the high side. And the market here, on an average daily, on an average annual consumption, we are talking about 400 megawatt per day. So you understand that we have quite a lot of electricity that needs to be transported somewhere else in another market. And if Cyprus is in isolation, you understand the only solution is either you deliver storage, so this is a storage, storage within the grid of Cyprus is something that we are promoting a lot these days. We have certain plants which we are subsidizing companies, they are interested in order to develop storage into our transmission system. And the one plan that was released a couple of weeks ago, it provides a subsidy of 45 million euro in order to get a certain capacity of storage in the system, in order to make more use of this production here and switch off as much as we can from the conventional power generation, simply because this is costly, because of the burning fuel, but also because of the emissions. So this is very important going forward. And what you can see here is the Great Sea Interconnector, which is an electricity interconnection that will connect Israel via Cyprus to Greece. And when we are talking about Greece, we are talking about the EU. So this project, and I will show a slide later on, it's again heavily subsidized by the European Commission with multi-millions of euro in order to get this connection of Israel, Cyprus, and Greece. And this is the Great Sea Interconnector. What you can see here, it's Israel, it's 310 kilometers, and then we have another 898 kilometers connecting Cyprus with Crete, and Crete is already connected with mainland Greece, and of course Greece is connected, is interconnected with the rest of the European member states, so that there is a union of electricity between all these countries with this electricity interconnection. You can see that we are talking about 1,000 megawatt of transmission line. The total cost is estimated at 1.9 billion euro. And the subsidy that this product receives from the EU is 657 million euro, plus another 100 million from another fund for Cyprus specifically. So you understand it's quite heavily subsidized as a project. This project will be looking for investors. There is certain interest from this country as well. Please allow me not to mention any of the funds that they have expressed their interest, but indeed there is some dynamic conversation between potential investors. Some, they are coming from the UAE and also from France. We have a couple of investors that they expressed interest into this project. And I believe this is what it is from my side. I try to be more focused on energy, and certainly there will be some more conversation on these matters with our esteemed panelists here, and I will try to be, let's say, on the other side, so that as quiet as possible in order for them to express their views. So I believe I provided quite some input to give you the floor and give us a little bit of insights of what is happening in the markets, investments, but also oil and gas companies. The one thing that that I missed, and as soon as we started on the day, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, when you started drilling in Electra, it was the day that the new administration said, drill, baby, drill. So we listened very carefully, and this is what we did. Thank you very much.